Hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come.
Brother Stephen with us. The Lord bless you, brother.
Amen.
And we're missing our brother Gary this morning, but trusting and praying. And wasn't it so good we are, Brother Fred, or Brother Keith this morning, and I believe that when we pray and come in sincerity, that God hears us and God answers. Praise God. And we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
Praise God. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Praise God. Thank God for that this morning. And I appreciate the offering that's been lifted. And I really appreciate it. And when you go on a trip, you're going to try and win somebody to the Lord and help others. And we just appreciate the Lord and appreciate each one here. And the Lord bless each one of you. So let's turn to John chapter 12, verse 32. And I know I have used this scripture a lot recently, and you know, I was waiting on the Lord yesterday and again this morning, and I just couldn't get away from that scripture. And I was thinking, you know, I had this thought, maybe I need to get you something a bit deeper. And I first felt that the Lord said to me, I've called you to preach the simplicity. That's what I felt God spoke to me. Praise God. And there's other things I've studied, but I just could not get the leading to bring them, but I felt led to bring this here. Praise God. Just verse 32. Maybe read 32 and 33. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the work is finished. And you said it is finished. Lord, we just come before you this morning in Jesus' precious name. We thank you for the prayer that's been prayed. We believe it reached heaven. We believe you heard and you've answered this morning. We believe in you're going to touch your brother Keith. You're going to completely deliver him. Make him whole in Jesus' precious name. Father, cover each one with your blood this morning in this house. For all that's been prayed for and all that's near and dear in our hearts this morning, cover them with your precious blood. Lord, I just take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to take a text again, and I've preached it before, probably on the Wednesday nights as well. God has only one provided way. And this here is a tremendous scripture here we've read this morning. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This is all about Christ being lifted up from the earth. The one and only provided way for man to come back to God is God's way. We cannot come to God any other way than God's way. We cannot come to God our own way. We cannot come to God the way of some system or organization. But we can come to God, God's provided way. And Jesus Christ is God's provided way. And the only provided way. There's no other way. I just want to read a few scriptures about being lifted up this morning, what this is all about. John 3 and 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses, you know, when they were bitten with a snake, with a viper, when the children of Israel was bitten with a viper, a snake, it would have killed them. They would have died. And a snake bites deadly. But God told Moses, if you make a brass serpent and lift it up over the people, when they're bitten, I'll heal them and I'll deliver them. And that's what it's about. And when the people of Israel were bitten, they would lift up the brass serpent and God would heal the people. And Jesus Christ, this is type to Christ on the cross. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, if a brass serpent lifted up can cure people from a deadly wound and a deadly bite of the serpent, how much more can the blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, God's provided way, cleanse us and heal us this morning.
Amen.
We believe the words we've been singing. It's called the four square gospel. Savior, healer, baptizer of the Holy Ghost, and coming King. When we look away to Jesus, we're saved. When we look away to Jesus, we're healed. And the Bible calls him in John 14, the great comforter. Has come the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we know he's coming again. Hallelujah. William Branham preached a tremendous message. It was called That Day at Calvary. And Jesus was lifted up that day at Calvary. John 8 and 28 says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. I tell you, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I am he. Oh, I tell you this morning, I am he. When they come to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they asked for him, and Jesus stood forth, and he said, I am, and they fell backward. This is the same I am that met with Moses on the Mount of and he said, I am, have sent you. This is the same I am. God's prophet, Brother Branham, said, the God of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. He said it was God over us. And then he says it was God with us in the person of Jesus. And then he says today it is God in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Praise God. So you had God over us, you had God with us, and today you have God in us. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. I am he. Praise God. We're working this morning with I am he. I am he. Who is this I am he? This is the one that the Bible says all things are made by him and for him. He made everything there is this morning. I am he. I am the beginning of the creation of God. I am the first and the last, the living one. I am he that was dead. And behold means, pay attention, look up. I am he that liveth. And I am alive forevermore. I am he.
Amen.
Says, have I been lifted up? I tell you, the cross is the message this morning the world needs to hear. The power of the cross. The power of the resurrection. Praise God. Romans 5 and 18 says, therefore, as by one man's offense, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, the condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. I tell you, the devil put us into sin because he deceived Adam and Eve. Now I know Adam did it willfully, but the Bible says sin came by one man, and the Bible calls that one man Adam. So sin entered into the world because of one man called Adam. But righteousness entered into the one man because of his obedience. So because of one man's disobedience, sin came. But because of the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. On the justification of grace.
Amen.
Now we know the serpent beguiled Eve. We know that. But Adam took Eve willfully. With his eyes open. He knew what he was doing. Because he was a type of Christ. And Jesus Christ takes you and me this morning. And he stands with open arms. And he says in John 3:16, God so loved the world.
Amen.
Didn't say that God loved the chosen few. You don't read that. God loved the chosen few. You read that God so loved the world.
Amen.
That whosoever.
Amen.
That includes everybody. That excludes nobody. Everybody can be saved. That'll believe on the Lord. What about the next verse? You never hear it mentioned much. Verse 17. God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus Christ was lifted up, so that we could be saved. Hebrews 2 and 9 says, but we see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I could preach your sermon right on that now. But we see Jesus. Oh, I would to God that we could see Jesus this morning afresh. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, so that death would have no more dominion over us. Just like Paul the Apostle said, sin will have no more dominion over you. The same Apostle said, death shall have no more dominion over you. Because Jesus Christ has conquered both death, hell, and the grave. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He rose on the third day, as a brother prayed in his prayer. There stood the angel. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let Mary and them in. And when they went in, they found the grave closed lying. And they went, and they thought perhaps someone had stolen them away. But we know there was two men, robed in white, which were angels. And they said, why seek ye the living here among the dead? For he's not here, he's risen. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Jesus is risen indeed. Risen from the grave. Death couldn't hold him. Oh, the wee song says, death could not hold his prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Savior.
Amen.
He's risen this morning. I tell you, I believe maybe the bars are not physical, but they're metaphorical. They're the bars of stuff. And like the dogs, the Bible talks about the dogs compassed them about. That's demon powers. But he broke them. He dealt with them at Calvary.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, Job was waiting on him. Job was the one that said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him in the latter days. And Job's the man that said, can a man that's dead live again? Can he live again? And you know, Job was in a place called Abraham's bosom. And he was waiting on the Messiah. He was waiting on the Lord. And when Jesus' body was hanging on the tree, the Bible says he dismissed the spirit. He stepped out of his body. He went down into the underworld. And he led captivity captive. And he rose up. And he gave gifts unto men. Job was waiting on them. They were held in a realm called Abraham's bosom. And they couldn't go no further than Abraham's bosom until Jesus rose from the dead. I want you to think of it this morning. Here comes the Lord Jesus. His body's on the tree. And he goes down into the underworld. And Job spots him. And Job says, here he comes. Here he comes. Glory to God. This is the one I talked about. This is the one I spoke about. Here is the one that I shall see in the latter days. Though the skin worms eat this flesh, I shall see God. Here he is. Isaiah says, here he is. Here is Isaiah 53. Here's the one with the wounds. Here's the one with wounded for our transgressions. Here's the one with bruised for iniquities. Here he is. Jeremiah the leading prophet saw. He said, here he is. Here he's come. And the word of God says, he led captivity captive. He opened Abraham's bosom. There was a resurrection. Some people call it the first rapture. Well, they call it the first rapture, call it what you want. But it's true. They rose from the graves.
Amen.
The Bible says the Old Testament saints rose and they saw them. Scared the life out of them. And they walked through the streets and they walked through the cities. Notice what a prophet of God said in our day. He said, you'll know when it's on. For he said, your loved ones that's gone on before will appear in you. They'll walk in your midst and you'll see them.
then you'll know it's on, that the rapture's going to take place, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And your body's going to be changed, and you're going to be resurrected. Hallelujah! In a message called the flashing red light of his coming, he says the angels will sweep down and pick you up, take you home to glory. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And he says, have I been lifted up? God provide way. Oh, I tell you, we don't need no other way. We only need God's provided way. The church world today is uniting. The ecumenical movements uniting. The charismatics, the Pentecostals, the Methodists, the Baptists. Every single one of them is uniting today. They're all coming together. And there's prophecies been given amongst them all of a coming together. But my friend, hear this morning, that they're going to set up one man over it all. And he will be the Antichrist. The one world leader, the Pope himself. But God's going to have a people. And he's called out. God's called us out. Out! He's not coming to save an organization. He's not coming to save a denomination. He's coming to save his blood-washed people. Amen. That are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Some of them from the Methodist, Baptist, all places. But God will bring them out. Amen. This is God's only provided way. Any other way would be a perverted way, not a provided way. And I tell you today, they have perverted ways, but not provided ways. They want to pervert the gospel. You look, there's two sides to this whole thing. There's one side of it which is denominationalism. And then, you know, they're far away from Scripture. They don't believe the things God's done. And we know that God sent a prophet in our day in the spirit of Elijah. God sent a prophet. And God sent that prophet, according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6, to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. But what's happened? People have come together today and they think they know more than that prophet. And then they say, if you don't believe the message, you'll not go on the rapture. And they give you their evidence of what is the message. Their interpretation of what is the message. God's word needs no interpreter. He is the interpreter. Amen. That's what that prophet said. Amen. He said, a virgin shall conceive. No man had to interpret it. God himself came. And a virgin did conceive. And God interpreted his own word. God's provided way. God provided ways. Jesus Christ. There's no other provided way. God can have only one way to do anything. His first way is the only way that he'll do it. He'll never change it. God will never bring an improved way. He can't. If God introduces an improved way, if people are saying, we've a new way to be saved, they're telling us that's a new way. It's not the word of God. If people are saying, you can receive the Holy Spirit today, different than what they did in the day gone by in the Bible, that's wrong. There's no new way. God's first thought's perfect. And a prophet preached, God never, ever changes his mind about his word. It's perfect the first time. Never has to take it back. Never changes it. It remains the same. And if a man can get saved by calling upon the name of the Lord, he still gets saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. And if the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin. And if you believe God and obey His word, and you can receive the Holy Spirit, you can still receive the same Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore every one of you. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That gift's not just one of the nine gifts, but that's the gift. The gift which is eternal life. That's what it's talking about. Eternal life. Hallelujah. His first choice or his first way of doing anything remains always the same. If he changed to another way, then it wasn't God. He remains the same. He is infinite. His ways are perfect. His word is perfect. Any other way, any other one takes away or adds to the word of God's in trouble. Big trouble. You can't say, my version of the message preaches this, so I can say it. If it's contrary to the word of God, I don't care what you call it, it's still wrong. Here's a scripture that William Branham quoted many, many times when he preached. Revelation 22, verse 18, 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now when these seven seals were opened, and we know God opened them, and he revealed them to his servant the prophet, we believe it with all of our hearts. But we do not believe Joe Blogger's version. And we do not believe some other boy's version. And we do not believe that we must all run away and follow so-and-so over here to go to the rapture. And so-and-so over here to go to the rapture. Not one word of that there scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians what you need for the rapture. It's called the Holy Ghost. Jesus preached it. Jesus is the first one to preach it. He preached the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Jesus preached it. And he preached those that had oil and in. And oil represents the Holy Spirit. And the book of Ephesians says, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you're saved unto the day of redemption. When you're saved, you cannot be lost. And I tell you, there's no man can see you. The Holy Ghost sees you. And when God sees you, nobody can break the king's seal. Isn't that exactly what Brother Branham preached? He preached about the boxes put on the train, the boxcar. And he said, they're sealed to the destination, and no one can open that seal because they're sealed and it can't be opened till it reaches its destination. It would be an illegal offense to break the seal. How many knows that? And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. On to the day of redemption. We don't need somebody to add to God's word and tell us, yes, you have it, but if you don't hear, there's so much of that today. If you don't hear Brother so-and-so, you will never go in the rapture. Absolute rubbish. Don't you ever believe that? You need to hear Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who you need to hear. You remember what the message is all about? Do you know what it is in just a few words? It's a mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. That's what it's all about. That's it. The mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. Simplicity. If any man add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are in written in this book. Verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So people say, you won't get in if you don't believe this. You'll not get in if you take away from God's word. I tell you, there's so many people today, and they're speaking against the Holy Spirit. They mock the Holy Spirit. They preach sermons against the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, God will deal with that. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Amen. And didn't Jesus say, all manner of sin will be forgiven, except the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? And he says it will never be forgiven, never in this world or the world to come. Yeah. And people tramping the hobnail boots over the things of God and belittling it like it's nothing and don't realize they're grieving the Holy Ghost. Dangerous thing, isn't it? In Genesis 1 verse 11, I'm going to look at it in a moment. God has made a way, a perfect way, and we must walk right with it. We don't need another way. Not try to make it better, not try to take anything from it or add anything. We just take it the way God has placed it. Anything else is wrong. That's how simple it is. And you look at Genesis, talking about nature, and God said in verse 11, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." It was so. God did it. Now you know the day of all this different mixture stuff. They've hybrided. Why did they hybrid it? Because some fella had a big idea that he could do it better than God already made it. You can listen. If you take what God originally made and take some of this hybrid stuff and set it beside it, the hybrid stuff might look better. But I can guarantee you it's not. Now I know what I'm talking about. Now you, some of you from us at farm, you know that some of the stuff from its original condition, the winter and the frost and the rain and the sunset and everything will never fit it. Never affect it. Let me give you an example. You might know this. But you ever eat an apple and you can hear that apple crunching over here? How many of you ever eat an apple and hear it crunching? That's because it's spread. Now I never knew that the other day, but I was on an orchard the other day. And the fella told me, he says that he did it again this year. He spread it so that the apples would keep a hardness and a crunch. And if you bring apples from England over here to Ireland, they won't last. They go soft because our environment's different. And a fellow told me the other day, he said, just a small bottle of this stuff and the money it costs, and they spray the orchards with gallons of spray every single year, or they wouldn't have the crop they have. And you're going to tell me that won't affect nobody? The apples are sprayed. Now you people that like to go to Tesco's, or now I'm not saying anything against Tesco's, but I'm not saying anything for them either. So take that whatever way you want. Just so I'm on record, you go and you buy your lovely clean potatoes, and you don't want the farmer's dirty potatoes. When you better come to find out that those lovely clean potatoes have been bleached clean. Bleached clean. Your lovely, beautiful, clean carrots is bleached clean. Your lovely beds of lettuce that's lovely so clean, they're bleached clean as well. Half the stuff's bleached. You get a few potatoes out of the ground with a bit of dirt on them and clean them yourself and you've got a good potato. Hybrid. Everything's hybrid. Oh, it's true. What's that got to do with the message? Everything. You see, God sent a pure word. God sent a pure message. The message God sent is pure. The message God sent is a word from God to this generation. It's a thus saith the Lord. There's no question about it. I believe it with all my heart. But some smart aleck thought he knew more than God. And he thought he knew more than God's prophet, more than God's evangelist, more than God's pastors, more than all the fivefold ministry God raised up. He knows more. And he'll explain adoption in a way you can't find it in the Bible. And he'll explain about the rapture in a way you can't find it in the Bible. And he'll preach you about the new birth. And when he's finished, you'll not even know what he's preached about. But it's just so far away from the original. But the voice God sent, and God sent the voice, because God sent Revelation 10:7 in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. That voice takes you back to this book. Back to the original. Spoken word is original. original seed. The original. How many believe you this morning?
Amen.
When God made a seed, He made it perfect. And now man is trying to inject something to that seed. Hybrid corn, hybrid chicken, hybrid cattle. They cross everything today and tell us better. I think it was Brother Yule. I mentioned about the chickens along with Texan and Brother Yule. I was shocked. 6 weeks, was it? 6 weeks? You can't grow a chicken in 6 weeks. That's impossible. But they're doing it. But all you've got is a bunch of water. I'm telling you. It's blown up. Blown up. You know what's the scene in the natural with these athletes? You read about health magazines years ago, training with weights years ago, and when you read about it years ago, it took years and years to develop hard, solid muscle. But people today go in a gym and 6 months later, they're like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's fake. It's drugs. I'm telling you. You say, what's that got to do with it? Man is tampered with God's original way. He's hybrid. And he thinks he's making a better way. Brother Branham said, they're not making a better world to live in. They're making a better world to sin in. Not to live in. Let me read you this. There is only one way provided by God for anything. That's the title. We are certainly living in the last day. They are breeding different things together, crossing over, and it makes a product that's no good. Through doing this, I was reading in a medical journal, I believe it was, and then Reader's Digest, and how that it's changed the course of life for people. Listen to this carefully. It's even perverting men and women, that men are becoming more like women and women like men. Men are becoming sissy, women are becoming masculine. It's hybrid stuff. You see, that cell that we eat from this animal that's hybrid is exactly not the right cell for us. Now, can you catch that? God put the apples and the potatoes and all the original stuff there, and it didn't need touched. That was exactly what we needed, but some smart aleck hybrids it. Now it's a hybrid product. Now when you eat that hybrid product, it's going to have an effect upon you. Now let's see that the natural then flip it into spiritual. And they want to tell us to shovel the way we see it. That we don't need the blood of Jesus. They're false prophets. God's provided ways of blood. Hebrews says, "But thank the shedding of blood." There's no remission of sins. And God's way for Christians to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's God's provided way. You see, that cell that we eat from this animal that's hybrid, it's actually not the right cell for us. They're doing that seed, that cell from the animal, or cell from the wheat, or from the corn, it's not the right cell. In order to let you grow, look like bigger, it has to be spread all the time. And that's one thing you notice, the original doesn't look as big. Think of that for a moment. People think in everything. It's the same with two men. You take a fellow that's massive and he weighs 400 pounds and you have another fellow 200 pounds, people automatically think this big fellow's stronger. He might not be. That's not true. And you see, they hybrid the corn to make it bigger, they hybrid cattle to make them bigger. People say to me, the Aberdeen Angus years ago was big. Well, I never saw them. Never in my life did I see an Aberdeen Angus. In my lifetime, and I'm 50, the size of the other day. Now some of you fellas might have, that's older than me, but I never saw it. And there's other cattle that see them. But they've been pooping about. mixing and playing again. That's only when it's out of corn, wheat, everything's hybrid. And then you come into a church and a preacher, Trinity, hybrid religion. The baptizer, three titles, hybrid religion. And then you come to the other side of it, we believe the message, but what message? We believe everything the prophet said. Then you hear the preach. When you run it by the urim and thummim, nothing's slicing. None of the lights are flashing.
Amen.
When a true prophecy, a pure, true vision was took in the Old Testament and flashed, Brother Brown said, your urim and thummim today is the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible's your urim and thummim. It must flash up through the word. When the new birth preached, you must find it in the Bible. When the Holy Ghost preached, you find it in the Bible. But people are preaching stuff and you can't find it in this book. They're preaching four stages. There's no fourth stage. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's all you need. No fourth stage. You can go into the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, the holiest of holies, that's it. God's way, three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three. There's not four stages. But you see, someone's got in. Somebody's been hybrid. Where did it start? Started in Eden. Somebody was in Eden. Ezekiel says, thou hast been in the garden of God. Thou hast been amongst the cherubim of talking to the devil. And didn't Jesus say, while he slept, the enemy came and he sowed amongst the wheat his seed. The enemy sowed a seed. And the enemy sowed a seed in Genesis. And I tell you, he sows today false preachers. False prophets. You say, these are the signs of the end time. Jesus told us. Many false prophets will come. You can't have a false one if you don't have a real one. False prophets and false teachers, but you can't have a false if there's not a real. I told Brother Mark this morning, I was looked at someone the other day, and two famous men, one of them's dead, and they stood on the steps of this great big building, and the one looked down at the other, and he said, we can't say that Peter and John, silver and gold, have we not? He said, we have loads of silver and gold, and they smiled, and they said it was great. Then I showed you clips of their meetings when people were in cheese chairs, they came in them, and they went back out in them. We cannot deny what God's done. God moved. God moved. And now people are coming out and saying, this is false, something else is false. I wouldn't believe a word of it. I believe God's word. Amen? Now a genuine plant, a good healthy plant, does not have to be spread all the time. No bugs will bother it because it has a repellent itself that it puts out that keeps all the bugs off it. Now that's God's way. What brought sickness into the world was sin. When man dropped away from God's provided way, he opened himself to every devil there was, to sickness and so forth. Because he has to keep medicine and spread, and it's just each generation and bringing in another. And now you might be a Christian, your wife might be a Christian, but the genes of your body is still the inherited from your father and your grandfather, and on down, as Daniel said, each generation will get weaker and wiser, and it's got the whole race, the whole human beings down. And it has to. Life, death, but thank God there's a resurrection. God's commandment still stands the same. Every seed must bring forth its own kind. Now I know all was mentioned, I'm going to mention again. God made the horse and the mule, the donkey. But when you take the mule and you breed it to the horse, you've got, or the donkey and the horse bred together, you've produced a mule. Now run all the mules and you'll have no more mules. Because they can't reproduce. They're hybrid. It's not God's way. Oh, they can work. They can outwork the horse and they can outwork the donkey. The mule can. But he's a mule. But he's hybrid. And I tell you, man wants... Why is it that people's not satisfied with God's word? And they want some other thing? If we had just a program to get more people, if it's not the word of God, it's wrong. I don't care who it gets. Must be the word of God. Jesus said, "Have I been lifted up?" Jesus Christ, God's only provided way. There's no other way. If it's a hybrid seed with a perverted life, it'll soon die. Can't relive. Do you see it? Anything that's hybrid cannot produce life. It'll come to an end. But the original seed will reproduce its own kind again and again and again and again because it's original. So when you're born again of the original seed and God's word of the seed, in Peter it says that we're born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. That's God's man. Born of an incorruptible seed. But liveth and abideth forever. Isn't this so true? We've taken the spiritual, what Brother Branham said here. He said they need Molly Cottle and spread, or they're, you know, they're dying. Isn't that like a lot of Christians are dying? You have to carry them to church. Oh, come on, me son. I'll carry you down. Never work. The real seed of God will have something in it. That'll keep it keeping on. Are you hearing me this morning? Now you, I'm not saying you'll get discouraged. All them things will happen. You might even backslide. But you were always a seed. And you're still a seed. Because God chose you. And God ordained you. From the foundation of the world. That's what this Bible says. You were chosen in Him. From the foundation of the world, God knew you, He predestined you, He ordained you, He chose you, and His word says to you this morning that He is faithful and just to keep that which you've committed against that day. The only true wise God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's able to do it. They did it in nature, they did it in church. Mix the genuine with the same man-made doctrine, but it can never reproduce itself because it's man-made. God's word is a seed. Jesus said so. The word of God was a seed that is sower sown. Not as the only seed that will produce eternal life. We can have church life, home life, natural life, but the only life comes from God's word. Church life, home life, all that's good, but it's not God's life. God's life comes from the word of God. Jesus is the grain of wheat that fell into the ground. Jesus is the grain of wheat that was bruised. And except the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But Jesus Christ laid His life down and God raised Him from the dead so that the other fruits would fall. It's the same principle when you come to the resurrection. Jesus said that He is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. First fruits, then there's other fruits to follow. That's simple, but it's the word of God. Matthew 13:24 says, another parable put forth unto them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like an old man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household that came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thy so good seed in thy field, from whence then it returns? And he said unto him, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. There's a famous preacher around the message. I'm not going to name his name. Famous preacher, big name. A big name that thousands followed and are still following. And Brother Branham told that big name, he said, Never be a pastor of a church. Never. Because he said, You're too rough on the sheep. And he said, You'll pull out the wheat with the weeds. You're far too rough. But of course, what did he do? He became a pastor of a church. And you know, Brother Branham rang him up. He rang him. Now I know, people might not like me saying this, but it's the truth anyhow. I don't care. It's the truth. Now I believe these things are for an example and for a reason. Now you know, if you believe Brother Branham was God's prophet and he told you something, would you not try and do it? I would. Even if a brother gave me a prophecy, that if you give the prophecy, I'd try and do it. Would you not? I would. I'd try and obey God. He rang him up and he said, What's this I hear that you've become a pastor? And he went silent on the phone. And he said, I told you. He said, You should only be preaching about twice a year. That's what he told him. But he says, Now you see, you've done something that you shouldn't be doing. And you're going to cause problems. And they're still here. They're still here. And people, oh, great teacher. That might all well be true. But the prophet preached a message during God a service without it being the will of God. And God does not need nobody to do him a service outside of it being his will. God has chosen a fivefold ministry to do his work. And it's that fivefold ministry God's going to use. He doesn't need some wee fella to give him a hand. And the Bible says that you're to make your calling and election sure. And know what God's called you to do. And when you know what God's called you to do, stay with it. And know this, nobody else can do your job. And if somebody says, Look, if you don't do it, we'll get somebody else and they'll do it. No, they won't. And it won't work. I know a man in Africa, and his congregation had a smart idea because they were influenced. They were influenced with a couple of smart alecks that they had voted him out. He made a mistake, but he admitted to it, and it was nothing major. He made a mistake, he confessed it, and he put it right before God and the whole church. But these fellas thought, you know, the no blood group, that's what I call them. You ever hear the no forgiveness group? There's lots of them about. There's no second chance for them. They rule with a rod of iron. But always remember, if you belong to that group, what if you make a mistake one day? The Bible says if a brother's overtaken in a fault, let then the spiritual restore such an one. That's the word of God. But they put him out. And they put their man in. And their man wasn't in 6 months. And I won't tell you what happened. But I can tell you things happened. And they didn't have to vote him out, for he was carried out. But eventually down the road, this brother just kept on humble, waiting on the Lord, and they put him back in. And when they put him in, the church doubled. And he's still in, and that's 40 years later. Now this is telling you to show you an example. You cannot do God a service without it being the will of God. God's the way he does things. You think of it like this. You think of when Jesus chose the 12. Think when Jesus chose the 12. There's no way a lot of us would have picked some of them 12. Come on now, tell the truth. Peter that was cursing and denied the Lord 3 times. Would you have picked him? But God chose him. Not only did God choose Peter, but Jesus himself prayed for him. And he said, Peter, when you're converted, you will strengthen the weaker brother. Amen. And Peter's a man that stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, "Men and brethren, it needs me that this scripture must be fulfilled." And he preached the Holy Ghost unto them. The power of God come on them. That was Peter. But a lot of people wouldn't have chose him. He was too rough. And I tell you, it's the same today. And this. You know, people used to write up the denominations. And the message is more guilty now than any denomination. They think you can educate people to know what they call the message. And they'll all go and it'll all be wonderful. You can't do it! Brother Branham said it's only by a revelation of God that you can come. God reveals it to you. You could sit in 1,000 services, but one night you could sit in a service and the Holy Spirit will make known to you your need and you'll get it. Didn't you sit in meetings before you got saved and you never got saved? But one night something happened and you could see it. That was the Holy Spirit. Man can't do it, only the Holy Spirit can do it. Do you believe it or preach it? Amen. 1 John 3:9 says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for this seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." Unbelief, sin. You know, there's people and they can't keep healing. You can pray for people and God touches them and they lost it. There's so many cases of it. You know, once Jack Cole prayed for a boy and he took the braces off his ankles and he walked perfect. Completely healed. Later on when he got home and away from the meeting, he needed his braces again. And they took Jack Cole to court. And Gordon Lindsay represented Jack Cole at court. They brought it out before the judge and everything, and they said, "Who represents this man?" And Gordon Lindsay said, "I do." And they read out the whole case to the judge. And they said that Cole was false. He shouldn't have told him to take his braces off. "Wherever can you be found for this?" And Gordon Lindsay says, "Your Honor, I can show you." And Gordon Lindsay took him to Jesus walking on the water, where he appeared to them and they thought it was a ghost. He appeared to his disciples and they thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, "If it's Lord, if it's really you, Lord, bid me to come unto you." And Jesus said, "Peter, come." And Peter stepped out of the boat and walked to Jesus. Is that the Bible? But the Bible says he started to look around him. What did the doctor say? Oh, but the doctor said. Oh, but my mommy said. Oh, my daddy said. Oh, my neighbor said. Oh, but it came from my father. It came from my mama. And there's no choice. I'll have to just accept it. No, you won't. That's the devil. Amen. You're going to believe God or believe someone else. Peter looked around him. Is that the Bible? Amen. That's why Jesus said, "Look at the disciples said, look at us.
That's right. Amen.
Look at us. Don't look around you. Look at us." And the Bible says Peter began to sink and Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him. Now here's a question I have for you. Here's a question. And you can take whatever view you want. This is mine. I am telling you here this morning in this meeting that Jesus never carried him back to the boat. You will never preach me or convince me that Jesus carried Peter back to that boat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him out of the water, but you do not read that he carried him back to the boat. And I do not believe that Jesus carried him back to the boat. But he got back to it. Even though he made a sign, he walked in the water, his feet was up, but he had a little slip and he went down, and the Lord lifted him up again. That's the Lord showing you. He'll give you another chance. Just once more, Lord. I'm going to have to close. The time's gone. I'm going to have to close. The Lord will give you another chance. And he'll lift you up again. He'll lift you again. And I tell you, when he lifts you again, you will walk back to the boat yourself. Are you hearing me? You will walk back to the boat yourself. I think it was a brother John preached one time about we're going fishing. You know that the Lord called them, they knew they were called, they knew what they were called to do. But after all these things happened and the scene that took place with Jesus, they went back fishing. In the natural, now you understand, they went back fishing again. Even though God had called them and they left their nets and they followed the Lord. And they've seen the signs and wonders and the miracles. But when everything happened with Jesus and all the trouble came, they went back fishing. But I want you to know this morning, when they had the Pentecostal experience, they didn't go back fishing again. Now you understand what I'm saying. They went in the spiritual. And maybe you've had a touch in the past, but you've went back to some of the old things. I want to tell you this morning, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it'll quicken you forward. It'll never send you back. God wants you to go forward. He wants you to go forward. God wants you, sister, to do what you're called to do. He wants you, brother, to do what you're called to do. You do not have to do something for somebody else. You need to do what God's called you to do. I don't need you to do what God's called me. You don't need me to do what God's called you. God's made no mistakes. Spoken words original say God is only one provided way. Here it is. Word of God. Word of God. The Word of God says call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. The Word of God says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The Word of God says, if ye been evil, know how to give the Holy Spirit to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? God will give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you frankly this morning, I have to be honest as a preacher, if you're having struggles more than you should have, you need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit sent to guide you and lead you. How many believe it this morning? Let's stand our feet. We're going to pray. Then Brother Mark's going to come. God doesn't need His word changed. There's no other fancy ways. God's way is the true way. The one true way. Let us be reverent this morning. Let's have our eyes closed, our heads bowed. If you're in this house and you want to touch a price from the Lord, lift your hand to the Lord. I'm not going to call nobody for it or anything. You pray for you are. You believe God for you are. That you'll get a fresh touch from the Lord this morning. Whether it's your body, maybe look. All of us can do things and then we can slip back from it. But thank God there's another chance with Jesus. Don't look at the winds and the waves. Look to Jesus. There's a man in here that can turn on the light. Jesus Christ is His name. He's promised. For two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst. Not to bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. Your word is truth. Amen. Lord, you said ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You will be no longer entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Him that's free is free indeed. Heavenly Father, I pray especially for every hand raised. Lord, you know every heart, every need, every condition. Every circumstance. Father, we bring them before the throne of grace for we may find help in the time of trouble, before the mercy seat, before the throne of Almighty God. For the Bible says you're sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high and you ever liveth to make intercession for your saints. Father, I pray for my brother, my sister, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll renew them, that you'll bless them. and that they'll know the fresh touch of God upon their lives from this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless every boy, every girl in the service. Bless every man, every woman. Lord, bless your brother that's come to visit with us. May you bless him. May you comfort him. May you strengthen him at this time. Lord, may you move in his whole family. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead the power of the blood of Jesus Christ over every single one in this service. We place between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, let the blood speak for your children this morning, and speak against the enemy, speak against sickness, speak against disease, in the name of Jesus Christ. We claim every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, granted, I pray that you'll bless your people and strengthen your people. Vindicate your own word, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if I've said anything what I shouldn't have said, Lord, I pray you'll forgive me. But you let the people keep that which you wanted them to hear. Just lead and guide every one of us. Help us to do what you want us to do. Lord, not what somebody else wants, but may we be led by the Holy Spirit. For your word says the sons of God are led by the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us this day. Take us to homes in safety. Bless our families and our children. And we pray again for Brother Keith and our sister Eileen. Lord, that the hand of Almighty God would be mightily upon the both of them. And the whole family circle throughout. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Father, bless us now. Bless our Brother Mark tonight, if thou wast sorry. Amen. And bless the service in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless in each and every one of you. Brother Mark comes.
Not many things. Part of the same, but I think we'll sing up one. I hear thy welcome voice. Draws me toward today. You know, it's just like the nerve when Tommy started the starter, and he mentioned about Moses making them not roster. You know, that's still, you can still see remnants of that today. I believe our ambulance service could be wrong, but I believe the ambulance service has the wrong and the servant were in it. And a lot of things to do with the medical profession, you'll see that. You know the thing about that? That was, God made that for a way of salvation, basically. Because they have sinned against God and they're condemned. If you read that back in Numbers, it'll say where it said you brought us out here today, and then God said servants. Very servants, it says, admit them. But the thing was, that was a way of escape from that, to live, where he made that pole from that servant. But you know what they had to do? They had to look to him. They didn't look, they weren't healed. It's the same thing with Jesus. You have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And that's your way of the healing. I hear thy welcome voice. Call me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Amen.